apostasy, if we may use the expression, merely of a partial or local kind. Since the pious deserter who withdrew himself from the temples of Egypt or Syria would equally disdain to seek an asylum in those of Athens or Carthage. Every Christian rejected with contempt the superstitions of his family, his city, and his province. The whole body of Christians unanimously refused to hold any communion with the gods of Rome, of the empire, and of mankind. It was in vain that the oppressed believer asserted the inalienable rights of conscience and private judgment. Though his situation might excite the pity, his arguments could never reach the understanding, either of the philosophic or of the believing part of the pagan world. To their apprehensions it was no less a matter of surprise that any individual should entertain scruples against complying with the established mode of worship, than if they had conceived a sudden abhorrence to the manners, the dress, or the language of their native country. Footnote. From the arguments of Celsus, as they are represented and refuted by Origen, we may clearly discover the distinction that was made between the Jewish people and the Christian sect. See in the dialogue of Minucius Felix, a fair and not inelegant description of the popular sentiments with regard to the desertion of the established worship. End of footnote. The surprise of the pagans was soon succeeded by resentment, and the most pious of men were exposed to the unjust but dangerous imputation of impiety. Malice and prejudice concurred in representing the Christians as a society of atheists who, by the most daring attack on the religious constitution of the empire, had merited the severest animadversion of the civil magistrate. They had separated themselves, they gloried in the confession, from every mode of superstition which was received in any part of the globe by the various temper of polytheism. But it was not altogether so evident what deity or what form of worship they had substituted to the gods and temples of antiquity. The pure and sublime idea which they entertained of the supreme being escaped the gross conception of the pagan multitude, who were at a loss to discover a spiritual and solitary god that was neither represented under any corporeal figure or visible symbol, nor was adored with the accustomed pomp of libations and festivals, of altars and sacrifices. The sages of Greece and Rome, who had elevated their minds to the contemplation of the existence and attributes of the first cause, were induced by reason or by vanity to reserve for themselves and their chosen disciples the privilege of this philosophical devotion. Footnote. It is difficult, says Plato, to attain and dangerous to public.